Welcome to Zichudav Siman Memory Avram Goldar and Tirmon Zechus Yuma Daf Lamed Ches, the third parak Amar Lahem Hamamuna. This year will not include a pop quiz. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, Nicanor Nasu Nisim Adalso Sub. Regarding Nicanor, miracles occurred to his doors. The Gemara here brings a brisa that relates that Nicanor went to Alexandrian Mitzrayim to bring doors. Rashi explains that he went to purchase copper doors for the eastern entrance of the Azor. Upon his return, a great storm at sea threatened to drown him, and the sailors took one of the doors and threw it into the sea to lighten the ship's load. When the storm didn't subside, the sailors sought to throw the second door overboard as well, but Nicanor refused. He told them they would need to throw him overboard as well. Immediately the sea calmed, but Nicanor was upset about the loss of the first door. When the ship arrived at port, he saw the first door poking out from under the walls of the ship. Others say a sea creature had swallowed it and spat it out on the land. Therefore, all the gates around the base of Migdash were rendered out of gold except for Nicanor's Mifneshin Nasubo Nisim because of the miracles that occurred to it. Others say they weren't replaced because their copper shone brightly, while Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov says it was refined copper and it shone like gold. Point number two, the next Mishnah lists various families and individuals that are mentioned in Gnai unfavorably for not wanting to share the unique skills with others. Base Garmu, the house of Garmu, al Maisa Lechem Apanim. The Gemara explains that they didn't want to teach their secret for keeping the Lechem Apanim fresh for the entire week. Base of Tinas, al Maisa Katoris. This family didn't want to share their secret for preparing the Katoris. The Gemara explains that only they knew how to prepare it so that smoke went straight up like a pillar. Hugras ben Levi Hayodea Perik Bashir knew a special musical method but didn't want to teach it. The Gemara brings a bracelet that when he wanted to project his voice with sweetness, he would insert his thumb into his mouth and place his finger between the hairs of his mustache. Some say it was between strings of a harp. Ben Kamsar didn't want to teach Maisa Ksub, his special method of writing. A Bryce explains that he would take four pens between his fingers and he could write a four-letter word at one time. The Gemara clarifies that in the first three cases, the motivation not to teach the skill was so that it shouldn't fall into the hands of the idolaters. Referring to them, it said, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. The mention of a Tzadik is for Bracha. Ben Kamsar, however, had no excuse for not wanting to teach his skill, and concerning him it said, V'shem Rishayim Yirkav, and the name of the wicked will rot. And point number three, Belazar said, Kol Meshecheach Dabar Metalmudo, Gorim Galus Levanav. Anyone who causes himself to forget something from his learning causes his children to go into exile. As it says, V'tishchach Toras El Kecha, Eshchach Benecho Gam Ani. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Rabbi Yabao said, Moridin Osum Gdu Aso. He's demoted from his position of greatness, for it stated at the beginning of that pasuk, Ki Atah Das Ma'asta V'masachem Mekahen Li. Because you've spurned knowledge, I will spurn you from ministering to me. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, Nicanor Nasu Nisim Dalso Sub. Regarding Nicanor, miracles occurred to his doors. The Gemara here brings a brice that relates that Nicanor went to Alexandria Mitzrayim to bring doors. Rashi explains that he went to purchase copper doors to the eastern entrance of the Azara. Upon his return, a great storm at sea threatened to drown him, and the sailors took one of the doors and threw it into the sea to lighten the ship's load. When the storm didn't subside, the sailors sought to throw the second door overboard as well, but Nicanor refused. He told them they would need to throw him overboard as well. Immediately the sea calmed, but Nicanor was upset about the loss of the first door. When the ship arrived at the port, he saw the first door poking out from under the walls of the ship. Others say a sea creature had swallowed it and spat it out on the land. Therefore, all the gates that were in the base of Midrash were rendered out of gold except for Nicanor's, Mifneshin Nasubo Nisim, because of the miracles that occurred to it. Others say they weren't replaced because their copper shone brightly, while Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says it was refined copper and shone like gold. Point number two, the next Mishnah lists various families and individuals that are mentioned L'Gnai unfavorably for not wanting to share the unique skills with others. Beis Garmu, al Maisa Lechem Apanim. The Gemara explains that the house of Garmu did not want to teach their secret for keeping the Lechem Apanim fresh for the entire week. Beis Avtinas, al Maisa Katoris. This family did not want to share their secret for preparing the Katoris. The Gemara explains that only they knew how to prepare it so that the smoke went straight up like a pillar. Hugras ben Levi, Hayodea Perik Bashir, knew a special musical method but didn't want to teach it. The Gemara brings a brisa that when he wanted to project his voice with sweetness, he would insert his thumb into his mouth and place his finger between the hairs of his mustache. Some say it was between strings of a harp. Ben Kamsar didn't want to teach Maisa Haksav, his special method for writing. Abrice explains that he could take four pens between his fingers and he could write a four-letter word at one time. The Gemara clarifies that in the first three cases, the motivation not to teach the skill was so that it should not fall into the hands of idolaters. Referring to them, it said, Zecher Tzadik Vracha. The mention of Tzadik is for Bracha. Ben Kamsar, however, had no excuse for not teaching a skill, and concerning him it said, V'shem Rishayim Yirkav, and the name of the wicked will rot. And point number three, Belazar said, Kol Meshecheach Davar Metalmudo, Gorim Galus Levanav. Anyone who causes himself to forget something from his learning causes his children to go into exile. As it says, V'tishkach Toras El Kecha, Eshkach Banecho Gam Ani. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Rabbi Abahu said, Morin osam gdua so, he is demoted from his position of greatness. For it stated at the beginning of that pasuk, Ki ata hadas ma'asta ve'masacha mechayin li. Because you have spurned knowledge, I will spurn you from ministering to me. All right, so now we go to Simra Daf Lamed Ches, and our standard simon is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup as our standard simon for a davar lach. So here goes. The two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar and helped all those that smelled its aroma to not forget their learning. Once again, in slow motion. The two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup, that must be run Daf Lamed Ches, a davar lach. The two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, Nikanor Nasin Nisim Del Sosav, regarding Nikanor miracles occurred to his doors. Gemara brings a brisa, explains that he had purchased copper doors in Alexandria for the eastern gate of the Azora. Upon his return, he saw the first door that had been thrown overboard because of the storm poking out from under the walls of the ship. Others say a sea creature had swallowed it and spat it out on land. Therefore, all the gates that were in the base of Migdash were rendered out of gold except for Nikanor. So the two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists various families and individuals that are mentioned in the Ganai unfavorably for not wanting to share their unique skills with others. Beis Garmi didn't want to teach their secret for keeping the lechem upon him fresh for the entire week. Beis Abtinas didn't want to share their secret for preparing the Ketores so that the smoke went straight up in a pillar. Hugras Ben Levi knew a special musical method but didn't want to teach it. And Ben Kumser didn't want to teach his method for writing with four pens at the same time. The Gemara clarifies that in the first three cases, the motivation not to teach the skill was so that it shouldn't fall in the hands of idolaters. Referring to them, it said, Zecher Tzadik of Bracha, the mention of a Tzadik is for Bracha. Ben Kumser, however, had no excuse for not teaching his skill, and concerning him it said, V'shem Rasham Yerkav, and the name of the wicked will rot. So the two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar, and helped all those that smelled its aroma to not forget their learning. Which reminds us, Rabbi Lazar said, Kol Meshecheach Dabar Metalmudu Gorm Galus Levanav, anyone who causes himself to forget something from his learning causes his children to go into exile. It says, "Tishkach Torah El Kecha Eshkach Banecho Gam Ani." Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Rabbi Abahu said, "Morin Oso Megdua So." He's demoted from his position of greatness. For it stated at the beginning of that pasuk, "Ki Ata Hadas Maasta VeMasacha Mechahin Li." Because you have spurned knowledge, I will spurn you for ministering to me. So once again, the two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar and helped all those that smelled its aroma to not forget their learning. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazorah. The two kohanim climbing the ladder, that must be run daf lamedalit. The two kohanim climbing the ladder carrying limbs and a mincha, which reminds us, it was stated in Abaye's list, ve'evarim le'mincha, burning the limbs precedes the mincha, for it was taught in Abaye's, from where do we know that nothing should precede the morning tamid? Rashi explains that this refers to nothing being placed on top of the ma'aracha before the limbs of the tamid. The Torah states, with regard to the tamid, which is an ola offering, ma'aracha leha ola, he shall arrange the ola upon it. Rava explained, ha'ola, hi ola rishona. The expression, the ola, teaches the ola is offered up first. Therefore, the limbs of the tamid are burned before the mincha is offered. So the two kohanim climbing the ladder carrying the limbs and a mincha passed another two carrying ketores and nesachim on a second ladder, which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, v'shel ben arbaim ha'isekreva ben arvarim v'nesachim, the afternoon ketores was offered between the burning of the limbs of the afternoon tamid and the offering of its nesachim. The Gemara asks what the source of this ruling is, and Rabbi Yochanan answers that the pasuk regarding the tamid states, "Kemincha zaboka knisko tase," like the mincha of the morning and its libation, you shall make the afternoon mincha. This indicates that just as in the case of the morning mincha, the ketores precedes the nesachim. Also here, regarding the afternoon service, the ketores precedes the nesachim. The Gemara objects and says that if this is so, let us say that just as there in the morning the ketores precedes the burning of the limbs, so to here in the afternoon the ketores precedes the limbs. So the Gemara answers, is it written ki ivrei aboker, like the limbs of the morning should be the limbs of the afternoon tamid? No. It's written instead ki minchas aboker, like the mincha of the morning. Ki minchas aboker lo ki ivrei aboker. This implies that the afternoon mincha should be like the morning mincha, and not that the limbs of the afternoon tamid should be like the limbs of the morning tamid. So the two kohanim climbing the ladder carrying limbs and a mincha pass another two carrying ketores and nesachim on a second ladder, who had stopped to watch heated iron bars being tossed into the mikveh. Which reminds us, they would heat iron bars Erev Yom Kippur and cast them in the cold water of the mikveh so that it would lose some of its chill. The Gemara questions how this is permitted, since this leads to siruf, hardening the metal. Rabbi answered, Shlo higi le siruf. The iron did not reach the degree of heat needed for strength, and Rashi explains that it already had cooled down. Abai says you can even say that the iron reached the degree required for hardening, and yet it was still permitted, since davar she'eino miskaven mutter, an unintentional act is mutter. And the Gemara clarifies that Abai holds that davar she'eino miskaven aser with regards to a deraisa. Hardening the metal, though, is only a derabbanan, and therefore it's permitted. Daf Lamed Hey, so the similar Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. The cute little children's choir, that must be more Daf Lamed Hey. La la la. The cute little children's choir decked out in the finest linen robes, which reminds of the Mishnah Daf Lamed Dalad on the base brought him out close regarding the value of the big day 11. Rebbe Meir holds the Kohen Gadol would don Peluzin linen worth 12 mana. In the afternoon, he wore Hinduin linen worth 800 zuz. The Chacham held that in the morning, he would don linen worth 18 mana. In the afternoon, linen worth 12 mana, altogether worth 30 mana. The Gemara here notes that according to both opinions, the morning linen was worth more and asked for the source. Rav Huna Brei de Rav Elai said the Pasuk states the word bud, linen, four times in regard to the morning begadim, which teaches that mufchar bebud, the choices of linens, must be used. So the cute little children's choir decked out in the finest linen robes that their adoring mothers made for them, which reminds that after the public service was completed, a kohen whose mother made a ketonis for him would don it and perform the private service of Avodas Yachid in it, provided that he transfers the ketonis to the public for temple use. Rashi explains the Mora calls the removal of the machta and the kaf from the Kodesh Kadoshim and Avodas Yachid, because not needed for the public's kapara. Rather, it's the Kohen Gadol's personal obligation to clear away the kalim from that place. Therefore, he may perform the avoda in the ketonis made by his mother. But since this service is part of the public Yom Kippur avoda, it must be performed in begadim belonging to the base of Migdash. So the Gemara asks what the point of teaching this is. Once the ownership is transferred, it's obvious he may serve in it. The Gemara answers that we might have said, Nechush Shemolim Serena Yafa Yafa. We should be concerned that he didn't transfer the ownership well, meaning wholeheartedly, which would invalidate the avoda. The Tana, therefore, is coming to teach that we do not need to be concerned. So the cute little children's choir decked out in the finest linen robes that their adoring mothers made for them, sang the You Have No Excuses song, if you're poor, wealthy, or handsome. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Aniva Ashiv Rashim Bain Ledin, a poor person, a wealthy person, and a wicked person come to judgment on why they didn't learn Torah. To the poor person, they say, were you any poorer than Hillel? And they describe the extent of Hillel's poverty. To the wealthy person, they say, were you wealthier than Rabbi Azim or Kasom? And describe how his immense wealth didn't deter him from learning Torah. And to the person got caught up with his Yetzirah, they say, were you more handsome than Yosef? Describing how he was able to overcome his temptation of Eishes Potiphar. The Gemara concludes, Nimse Hillel Mechayves Anim, Rabbi Azim and Kharsom Mechayves Ashirim, Yosef Mechayves Rishayim. Daf Lamed Vav, the Simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The lulavim, that must be more on Daf Lamed Vav. The lulavim standing upright in the northern part of the Azorah, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which reminds the Mishnah on the bottom Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis discusses the Kohen Gadol's vidui on his par, which is done in the northern part of the Azorah in the place where it shechted. Bol Eitzel Paro, Uparo Omed Bein Ulam V'lim Mizbeach. He comes to the bowl and his bowl would be standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Gemara here suggests that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon based on a braisa that taught Ezu Tzafon, what part of the Azorah is regarded as north. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda says it's from the north wall of the Mizbech until the north wall of the Azorah. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon adds the area between the Ulam and the Mizbech, and Rebbe adds the area in which the Kohanim may walk, referring to the Ezra's Kohanim, as well as the area in which non-Kohanim walk, referring to the Ezra's Yisrael, both of which are east of the Mizbech. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah can also be going according to Rebbe, for if he holds an area of less Kedusha is considered north, then certainly an area closer to the Ulam is considered north. The reason the part is positioned between the Ulam and the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur is Mishum Chush of the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, confessing and then shechting it farther away would require carrying the blood a greater distance. So the Ulam standing upright in the northern part of the Azorah between the Ulam and the Mizbeach in Sukkah, the Lekka transgressor who said Vidui on his Ola, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa that includes a machlokes regarding Vidui on an Ola. Although an Ola is not brought for transgressing a mitzvah's losase, Rabbi Yosi Akuli says one does confess on it for the sins of Lekat Shechut Peah Umaisu Ani. Rabbi Kiva says an ola is not brought except for violating a mitzvah's ase and a mitzvah's los ase, shenitik ase, a mitzvah's los ase that's remedied by a mitzvah's ase. Rabbi Yirmi brings one interpretation of the Malchokas and Abai disagrees, saying, Betazov kamufage, they disagree regarding the mitzvah's ase of you shall leave, with which the prohibitions of Lekat and Peah conclude. Rabbi Kiva holds Tazov mikar mashma, that you shall leave implies the initial obligation to leave the leket and pay it for the poor, but it's not meant to rectify a prior failure to do so. Therefore, These mitzvahs are not in the category of Alavanita Kalase. Rabbi Yosef Gli holds Ashtamashma, that this command comprises a present obligation taking effect after the prohibition has been violated, and serves to remedy the transgression. Hence, they do fall under the category of Alav Anita Kla'ase. So, the lulavim standing upright in the northern part of the Azorah, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, encircle the Lekka transgressor who said Vidui on his Ola, saying Chatasi Avisi Peshati. Which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce that Reb Meir holds that the Kohen Gadol says Vidui over his par by saying Avisi Peshati V'Chatasi. For this is how Moshe referred to Hashem as Nose Avon V'Pesha V'Chata'a, forgiver of Avon, Pesha, and Chata'a. The Chachamim challenge Reb Meir because Avonas are willful sins, Peshaim are rebellious sins, and Chataim are inadvertent sins. So once one confesses over the first two, which are intentional, it doesn't make sense that he confesses over the inadvertent ones. Rather, the order is Chatasi v'avisi u'pashati u'fanecha, placing the inadvertent sins first, followed by those done willfully, and then followed by those done in rebellion. What Moshe was saying was, Rabbono shel olam, b'shan shiso chotim fanecha, v'osin teshuva, aselehem zedonos kashagagos, master of the universe, at a time that Yisrael sins before you, and then does teshuva, transform for them their willful sins into inadvertent ones. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The kids probably wearing their I Say Please stickers were allowed to walk diagonally on the sides of their laser tag coach. Laser tag coach? That must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. The kids proudly wearing their I Say Please stickers, which reminds us, we learned that the Yom Kippur Vidui begins with the word Anna, please, because Kapara stated here regarding the Kohen Gadol's par, and Kapara stated there regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's confession at Horeb after the Jews' worship of the Egel Zahav. Just as there at Horeb, the Vidui began with the word Anna, so to hear the Vidui begins with the word Anna. We also know that the Vidui is recited with the divine name because Kapara stated here regarding the bull, and Kapara is mentioned regarding the Egel Arufa. Just as there, the Vidui began with the divine name, so to hear, the Vidui said with the divine name. So the kids proudly wearing their I Say Please stickers were allowed to walk diagonally on the sides of the laser tag coach, which reminds us, Rav Yudah said, Hamahal Kamin Rabo Haizabur, if one walks to the right of his Rebbe, he is a boor. The Meir explains that by walking next to his Rebbe, he appears to equate himself to him. Secondly, the Meir says he should walk to the left of his Rebbe, so that if he needs to assist his Rebbe, his right hand will be available to help him. The Gemara questions this based on a number of sources. The next mission states that when the Kohen Gadol walks to do the service with the two goats, Haskan Mimino Rosh Beisav Mismolo, the Skan walks to the right, and the Rosh Beisav walks to his left. Secondly, it was taught in a Braisa regarding three are walking along the road, Harab Be'emsa Gadol Mimino Bekata Mismolo. The Rav should be in the middle, with the greater Talmud to his right, and the less one to his left, which we find with the three Malachi Ashars who visit Avram. Michael was in the middle, Gabriel was to his right, and Raphael was to his left. How then could Rabbi Yehuda disparage someone who walks to the left of his Rabbi? When the initial answer that he was walking behind his Rabbi is rejected, since someone who does so is considered Megase Ruach, from among the arrogant, the Gemara concludes that the Braisa meant that the Talmud should be diagonally to the side of his Rabbi. So the kids probably wearing their I Say Please stickers were allowed to walk diagonally on the side of their laser tag coach and watch him laser a curse on a tablet against their rivals in alphabet code. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that Helena, the mother of Mumbaz and Melech, made a golden tablet upon which the Parsha Sot was written. Rashi explains she made this to avoid opening a Sefer Torah in order for a Sofer to copy the oaths. The Gemara says that one can learn from this, Kosin Megillah Tinok Lislamidba, that we may write a scroll that only contains a Parsha from the Torah from which a child may be taught. Reish Lakish refuted this, saying in the name of Rabbi Yanai, Baal Beis, the Parsha Sot was inscribed on the tablet in alphabet form, meaning only the first letter of each word was written. The Kohen viewed each letter and wrote the corresponding word. This would avoid violating the prohibition against writing a portion of the Torah. When this is challenged from a Braisa, the Gemara revises its answer and says, the tablet contained the beginning words of each pasuk, and the rest of the words were written in alphabet form. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.